this good word. Let me go to the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let me just start there. We'll be doing a number of verses tonight from the word of the Lord, but we'll start there. Amen. Now remember, at 11 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to do something special. We're going to have kids camp. Amen. The Section 8 Sunday School Rally will be taking place there. We're going to be expecting some children and maybe some adults to get the Holy Ghost. Did you know adults can get the Holy Ghost in kids' programs? God doesn't really care how old you are or how young you are. Amen. We did children's programs in Columbia, and almost every one of them adults got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so it didn't really matter. That was not the point. Praise God. It was just that when folks get hungry, amen, the Lord comes and fills people with the baptism of His Spirit. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Everybody said He knows all things. Now I'm glad, and it's a comfort to me tonight to know that there is somebody that knows everything. I know some people that think they know everything, but they don't. But there is one that knows all things. It is a theological term we call omniscience. He simply knows everything. That's why the Bible said that His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're as high above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. Because He knows all things. But I'm not going to try tonight to tell you everything that God knows. But I am going to tell you some things that God knows. Some things that He knows. The question, you may be seated. One thing that God knows is exactly where you are. I heard about a guy that was in a hot air balloon, and he got a little lost. So he saw a farmer in a field, and he kind of, you know, let the air out that balloon a little bit, come down close to and hollered over the edge where the farmer could hear him. And he said, "Hey, Mr. Farmer," he said, "do you know where I am?" And the farmer said, "You can't fool me. I know you're up there in that balloon." What some people know doesn't help you a whole lot. A traveler was traveling through, and he stopped in Mahia, Texas. Anybody know where Mahia, Texas is? He had never been to Mahia, Texas. So he stopped in a local restaurant, and he asked the lady that worked there, he said, "Hey, how do you pronounce the name of where we are?" He said, and she looked at him and said, "Dairy Queen." Looks like he would have known that. But there are but God knows where you are. We don't always know where we are. I think God was actually going over Adam's head a little bit right after the fall in the garden, when Adam was trying to hide from God. Can you think of anything more foolish than trying to hide from God? But he's trying to hide from God. And the Lord asked the question. He said, "Adam, where are you?" Now, God didn't ask that because He didn't know where Adam was. But God asked that because Adam didn't know where Adam was. That's what we mean by being lost. He knew geographically in the garden where he was. but something had transpired in his soul, and he had no idea what was happening. And so God was simply asking him the question, Adam, where are you? But God knows where you are. Sometimes in life we get real confused. We're not sure where we are. Yes, we know geographically, we know the city, we know an address, but we don't really know where we are in relation to where we're trying to get to. But God always knows where you are. Now let me just say, you'll not always know where God is, in the sense that you'll be able to feel him or him. By faith you know that he's there. But you'll not always. Brother Tenney used to say, when you can't track God, you just have to trust him. Because there will be times that you can't track him. He doesn't show up on your GPS. So you don't have his coordinates to know precisely and exactly where he is or what he's doing. Job found himself in that very kind of a situation. When Job was probably at the lowest point of his life, he couldn't find God. He had lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health. And his friends, as they were called, could do nothing but stare at him for 7 days and didn't even say a word. I mean, that's pretty miserable. And he was in a bad situation. But Job said this, and I love these words. I go here often and remind myself of this. Job said in the 23rd chapter, in the 8th verse, he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take." Job is saying, it doesn't matter if I know where God is. What really matters is that God knows where I am. God knows the way that I take. He knows precisely and exactly where I am in life and where I am going to go from this point. And he has never left me, and he has never forsaken me, but he is with me always, even to the end of the world, the Bible said. So the Bible said he knows where we are. The psalmist said he knows the way of the righteous. Amen. As a matter of fact, he took a little bit further when he came and inhabited a body and lived on the earth. He said, "I am the way." He didn't just say, "I know the way." He said, "I am the way." Now, if you're trying to go to heaven tonight, there's just one way you're going to get there. And it's not politically correct, but Muhammad doesn't know the way. Confucius doesn't know the way. Krishna doesn't know the way. Amen. That's right. Jesus is the way. And without him, there's no going. Anybody want to go to heaven? Take off. You have my permission. You may leave the building and go. Nobody's going. Because he is the way. But you know what's going to happen, Brother Martin, when he comes? All over this world. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to them together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because that's when the way is going to come. He's not only the path that's going to get us there, He's the power that's going to get us there. He's the conveyance that's going to get us there. He's the vehicle that's going to get us there. Amen. If any man be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, that's the important thing here. You've got to be in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Into Him. You are baptized into Him. Amen. That's how you get in Christ. Amen. The way you get in Christ is you're baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. And that's the new birth. And that's how you get into Christ. And if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, then the Spirit that was in Christ shall quicken your mortal body, hallelujah. It's going to make you alive. Amen. He's the way. So one thing that he knows the way. Hallelujah. Because He is the way. The psalmist said, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Now one thing I don't know and one thing you don't know is how many days we have. If you go down to the casket store, and most people won't go there unless they're real in great need. But if you did, they got some little coffins, and they got bigger coffins. They got some adult-sized coffins. We don't like to talk about this. It gets real quiet when you talk about that. And you can go out to the cemetery. You can walk around and you can look on those headstones. And some people lived just a day. Some people lived a week. Some lived a month. Some lived a year. Some lived a decade. And some lived a century. But death is no respecter of persons. And I don't know the number of my days. You won't know the number of your days